Would you bow your heads, please? Father, without you, this is just going to be words. But as you place your anointing upon these words, I pray that they will penetrate and permeate all of our hearts. So give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive what your Spirit is saying to the church today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to go to Titus, please. So it's just before Hebrews, a couple of pages before that. Titus. And if you take a peek at verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son, in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Now, there's a lot of instructions, and I don't want to go there. You can do that on your own. But I want you to go to chapter 2, verse 11. Because he's giving instructions to all different types of personalities. But when it gets to verse 11, he's really got an impact on each of us. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. You say, well, wait a minute. How could the grace of God have appeared to me? You better think about it. You feel my power in crashing waves of the ocean. You see my glory in the sunrise and sunset. What makes you think I cannot handle all your problems? Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Why do you think God gave that word to us on the 10th? Because again, we see his grace in many things, but the reality of how it really functions, you have to have the anointing on you. And your sister in Christ shared with you how she was able to just sit, and then the tears came. Now, how many don't like to cry? Thank you. It's not a sign of weakness, by the way. But I don't like it either. But when the anointing hits, it just cannot be contained. You need to let it out. Give him permission to use his temple. It is his temple, after all. Didn't you say that you were letting him have this body for his glory instead of your own? Okay. So why all this control? Why all these tactics of making things happen the way you think are right? In case you forgot, you're still under the anointing of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's the devil himself. You say, wait, I can't be that. Yes, it is. The scripture very clearly says it. That the tree of knowledge and the tree of good and evil are one tree. One. Not two. The tree of life, however, is Christ. And he showed up on the scene. That's also the tree of grace. The tree of light, the tree of life, the tree of truth is one tree. His name is Jesus. So it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Now, if I did not read that quite right, correct me. But it doesn't say that it's your job. to control somebody or even yourself in order to make these things happen. If I read this correctly, it says the grace of God brings all these things about. If it's not the grace of God, then you're going to take credit. Did I get an amen there or not?
Amen.
See, we're so used to being brought up in the world of the flesh, under the anointing of good and evil, being two separate trees, and it's not. So there's one tree of grace that's constantly available to all of us so that we can grow up and mature and depend on His grace instead of ourselves. We want to clean up our own act. We want to make sure that all the darkness is gone from us. And yet St. Paul says, I glory in my weakness. How would you like St. Paul's answer if it was coming to you? And it is coming to you today. Some of you want to run away from your weaknesses. Some of you want to ditch them out the window. Yet God is saying in His Word that His grace is sufficient, and it is God bringing salvation. Not you. So those of you who have been self-reliant, listen to the tree you're listening to. And look at the tree that you're looking at. And it is not Jesus Christ. It's the wrong tree. And yet you follow and you continue to try to bring others into your own path. It's not God. It's called control. It's wrong. The one that should be controlling you is the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now go back to that verse 11 again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Clear. Clear. He is the one that's going to manifest through you. Not you manifesting yourself through those that you try to push into a place where you think it's right. And by the way, while you're listening to your thinking, look at where you learn those lessons. And if it's from the Word of God, then keep it. But if it's somebody else's opinion, or your traditional opinion, or your religious opinion, get rid of it. It's not God. If it doesn't agree with His Word and His truth and His grace, it's not God. So all your traditions of men were what? Exposed by Jesus Christ. All the religious opinions of men were exposed by Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people. Did you hear that? To purify for Himself a people. Not you purifying yourself to make yourself happy and proud that you did such a great job of cleaning your act up. How many have ever heard, oh boy, I lost 40 pounds. How great I feel. Yay! Oh, I haven't had a drink for 20 years. What a wonderful man I am. I haven't had any drugs for 6 months. Isn't that wonderful? Tell me who gets the glory. Is it God? Is it their God or is it your God? Maybe there's a difference between their God and your God. Maybe they're worshiping a different Jesus than you are. Just maybe. So think about the foundation of all this wonderful people that they're doing a wonderful work to transform their own lives in order to get happy about themselves. Tell me which tree they're under. That's right. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is in the enemy himself. That's where Eve was sitting, and she was just enjoying. Oh, my, does this look good for food? Woohoo! Can I make apple pie out of this? She did. And she fed her husband. And he should have said no. But he didn't. But had God provided a way out? Yes, he did. Even before they failed, he knew they would make bad choices. How many of you have ever watched one of your children make a bad choice and you knew they would do it, no matter what? Thank you. And you'd love to prevent it. But you can't. Because they need to learn their own lessons, their own way, because otherwise you would be their savior. Verse 14 again. Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These men are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. I love that part. If they're angry with me, I need to be able to do something about it. If I have an opportunity. And if they're still angry with me and they don't like what I'm saying, my job is to intercede and pray for them until the Lord heals them. Sometimes I'd like to readjust a few people. Those of you who have a mechanical mind, you know what it is to readjust the carburetor and put a little more juice in there. Amen? See, we have a tendency, because we were brought up to be self-reliant and self-sufficient. I can do this job all by myself. My 5-year-old great-granddaughter tells me that all the time. She can do this. She can do this. She's got no problem. And when we went to Florida, she told her grandmother this week that she paid for it herself because she used some of her birthday money. There was no problem. Now guess what she wants for a summer vacation? She told my wife and I that she wanted a trip to Paris, France. So we're all ready to roll, right?
Paying.
Of course she's paying with her Christmas money. For next year. No, I'm teasing. But, you know, you understand, at 5 years old, she's got all the answers. Yeah. And some adults are still 5 years old and have all the answers. Check it out. Listen. Listen in between the lines when somebody's talking. And when you hear, I can do this, remember who God, or which God, they are serving. Which tree are they feeding on? Is it really the tree of life? See, the tree of life will bring what? Love, peace, and joy. And that's what? The presence of the kingdom within you. Love, peace, and joy. If those are not the fruit of your words, then check again, see which tree that you are feeding on or listening to. And then when you listen, you usually have a tendency to give out that kind of advice. I've done it. Thought I was right. I was dead wrong, but I didn't know it. So don't pick on those that don't know the Lord. Don't try to be the director of their lives. Let Jesus do it. And I'm going to take you to chapter 3, verse 1, because it's really quite important. It says to remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities and to be obedient and to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. That verse 2 is a priority in most Christian hearts. To slander no one. In other words, don't tear anybody up. To be peaceable and considerate. And to show true humility towards all men. That includes those that you don't agree with. Jesus found solutions for every person he chose to minister to. That's your job. Find solutions. Find grace for them. Find mercy for them. Find healing for them. And while you're releasing that out to them, what do you think is going to happen to you? Yeah. We're going to get healed. See, it's all about us receiving what we give out. If you want to see a person's heart, watch their activity. Just watch them. Watch them as they go off and do certain things. And they are automatically givers and lovers. Well, tell me, where are they getting it from? The tree of knowledge of good and evil? Oh, I'm not buying that one a gift because after all, they didn't give me a gift last year. Which tree? How many have ever said those words? Put your hand up right now if you've said those words before. Out of a moment of anger, I have too. After all, why should I bless them? When the Lord began to put my nose in my own words, this goes back to the early 80s. And I had somebody insult me so bad and slander me publicly. And the Lord told me to go out and buy him a gift. And my wife told me that I was nuts. Because I spent $30 on a beautiful gift for this specific individual and dropped it off at their door, wrapped with a bow on top and a card of appreciation. 1980, a $30 gift today would probably be $55 or $60. Did I have the money? No. But I knew that I was to bless them. It was like a slap in the face to them. They didn't want to look at me. They were so highly insulted. Because I did write down, this is in the name of Jesus Christ. On the card. And signed my name. You want to get manure? Give it out. You want to get flowers? Give some out. It's up to you. You're in the control room. You can either listen to the Lord or listen to self. Because when you're listening to self, you wouldn't go out and buy that gift. But if you listen to Him, you'll bless the one that abuses you and mistreats you. Because that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the grace that you will be visibly showing to those that don't know Him yet. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Again?
Amen.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men through those that represent Him. That's you and me. Yes, dear.
Lord had to teach me that it was okay to receive a gift from someone without feeling the obligation that I had to do something back.
Amen.
Because if I didn't receive it, you know, and felt an obligation, then that other person was not going to receive a blessing.
And do you realize you were crushing pride when you do that? And you were also crushing control. And you were also crushing the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you were bowing to the tree of life and light. Good example. Excellent. You know, this piece of truth can shatter some of the old things that have controlled you. And my heart is to you. Cry out for him to keep on using you and to keep on giving out what Jesus would give rather than your own opinion. Would you bow your heads, please? Say, Lord Jesus, I need grace. I need a lot of grace. Because there's wounds in me. And I want them healed. Because it's your glory that's at stake. And my obedience is not going to be done without grace and mercy. I need grace and mercy. And favor with you and with men. And with women. To please you
above all things.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.